Oh, you know what time it is. First of all, it's an NBA night here in South Florida. Miami Heat getting ready to take on the Atlanta Hawks. And Bruce Bowen joins us this morning. Bruce, how you doing, my man?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. You don't know nothing about that Ibrahim Ferrer and I Candela. Don't know nothing about that, Joe.
What is that? What'd you just tell me?
Oh, man, it's the title of the song that you had playing.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, I know, and it's a shame.
That's what makes you special. I get more people from like, hey, man, Bruce is really like, he knows our culture so well, and then I got to go in the story. Yeah, he's been to Cuba, and he's learned I got to go in the whole thing, and the howled in, and I got to go into the thing with your family. I feel like I'm jumping in your business as I try
because
to explain
it. That's what you do. You always are in my business. Well, whether you're telling my kids during the finals, yeah, go ahead and drink that Gatorade
That's LeBron.
Wayne was drinking that Gatorade. LeBron was drinking that Gatorade. Yeah, see, Joe?
You should have seen that look on your face when I told your kid. And they were drinking that stuff from LeBron and Wayne.
I know what they were going to do. That could have been Birdman.
God, I just lost it. Bruce, I can't hear you right now, my man. I pulled out my – it's been that kind of day around here, so.
Sometimes it happens.
Oh, man. I just pulled out. I'm good, but you are too much. You got me on that. You can't hurt me that way. Hey, Bruce, let's talk some NBA. First of all, Kevin Durant back. Good for business, see him back. But I got to ask you this. Not to be the Debbie Downer side, are they going to be good enough? They are in such a hole right now, and the West is so good. Can they jump into a playoff spot, or is there plenty of time?
You know, Joe, I'd be willing to bet all your money that they could, because it's you're talking about a team that has been to the finals, a team that has over a 68% winning percentage with Kevin Durant and Kevin Westbrook on the floor together. What's ailing them right now is that, you know, they have to get back to the basics, and they have not. You know, they got back, they got Kevin Durant back, and they thought, oh, okay, all is well. We got our star back. But they didn't do the other things that are necessary against teams in order to have the effect that they used to have on teams. This team used to defend. And when we talked about defense, we talk about big Perkins down low and how he's just mad at everybody, whoever's dribbling the ball.
Right.
He got a big scowl on his face. Serge Ibaka, he was once a guy that we considered defensive player of the year, and you just don't see that right now. And even Kevin, when he was out there on the floor last night, I'm watching guys penetrate their defense and get layups, Joe. You can't afford to give them layups with the hole that they've dug themselves as far as starting off at a 5-12 situation. They have to get back to defense. The offense is fine. We're talking about Kevin Durant. He's not going to lose that touch of scoring. He's special, and the reason why he's special is because he can score in a variety of ways, whether it's shooting a three, whether it's creating, or down low on the block, because he's so much taller than a lot of the opponents.
Let me ask you, though, because they got another problem. They need to win and win quickly because they're trying to make it real special for him to stay around for another contract. And this definitely doesn't help things. I just have a gut feeling. I know he likes Oklahoma City, but I think he's going to be like a lot of other guys. I think he's headed to another market. Do you sense that, or do you think he stays loyal to the cause?
You know, Joe, because of the type of guy he's been, I have no other feeling other than, you know, he'll stay there. But things have to change. And as far as making sure they're still competitive, and maybe Scott Brooks' voice has worn out with him now, you know, kind of like a Stan Van Gundy situation in Miami. Stan was an incredible a professor of the game. But after a while, it's nothing you can do. You're not generating those wins, and all it is nothing but questions going up every time a coach decides a certain fate for your team. So, you know, I hope that he stays, Joe, but, you know, it's such a different day and age for a lot of the young guys now. It's so much about the me and now, about how I can do things, and if I was away, I think he needs Russell Westbrook in order to be special. We know that he's a great scorer and things like that, but when you put Russell on the floor with him, even though there are times that Russell attacks and forgets to pass the ball, you still need him out there in order to be effective.
All right, Bruce, the Miami Heat are 9-8. They've been going back and forth. Bruce, we got Dwayne Wade back. Chris has been pretty consistent, but the rest of the guys have been up and down. What's your take on this team? And I'm just curious, what's the biggest concern you have with this Miami Heat team going ahead?
The biggest concern I have right now is Luol Deng fitting in, not having a lot of time. What you've seen over the past four seasons is continuity with this group.
Mm-hmm.
And right now you're not seeing that because you have so many new pieces. And Joe, I'm going to complain a little bit right now, man. I'm going to go a little old school of what I know. And – you know, 2 months from now, you're going to see a different Miami Heat ball club because they have that time to gel. They have that time of practicing with one another. Mm-hmm. They'll have that time to gel and really understand what Coach Spoelstra wants. And, you know, with only a week of training camp, and during that week, you only get, you know, two-a-days, and one of them is a teaching day. Guys aren't getting that practice time like they need, Joe. And that's why you see teams starting out slow. You see teams struggling right now that shouldn't be struggling. So a lot of that has more to do with the fact that they don't have that time like they used to, you know, whereas before, 2 weeks of training camp was a lot different than this 1 week of a soft training camp. So I think that plays a big role and what is transpiring today with teams coming together. That's why you see so many teams with such a slow start. And those teams that have been together for quite some time, those are the teams that have started out and they're doing things that we've come to expect.
By the way, did you happen to catch last night? Dirk Nowitzki called it one of the dumbest plays he's ever seen, which was kind of weird to hear from him saying it. Kirk Heinrich's play on Monte Ellis, did you see that?
Yeah, I did. And you know what? One of the biggest issues is that Kirk is a lot older than Monte. Monte is fast, and you allow the guy who inbounds the ball, which was Monte, he got ahead of steam going to go get the ball. There's no way anyone can stay with someone like that. And because he's so fast, when he decided to foul him, you're already past half court going into the shot. He was almost better off just allowing him to shoot the ball. If he makes it, so be it. But just make sure you get your hand up so that you can, you know, contest the shot. I don't know about dumbest play. And that's where I think if Dirk had it to do over again, he would choose another set of words.
Right.
Because as a player, you never want to be associated with dumb and play. So, you know, we all make mistakes, but I think that was one of the scenarios with Dirk. If he could do it over again, he should.
Yeah, I just – and you never expect that out of a guy that's been around that long, but that is a tough call. Is that something – you know, there's always that talk, do you foul a guy or you let him – you foul him early before he gets the shot off, although everything's continuation now. Bruce, how are most teams handling that?
Man, shoot, I'm looking at it from a standpoint that you have all these guys that are making these fouls for three-point shooters. We saw Shabazz Napier.
Mm-hmm.
He's had, I think, three right now, and it's unacceptable. You don't foul three-point shooters, Joe. There was a time where you just knew better. Four-point plays or four-point play opportunities, they happen on a regular now, and for me, I'm looking at this stuff saying, all right, when are we going to learn that if you foul a guy, you know, while he's shooting from a three-point position, it's not good for you? That's what I want to see. Guys paying attention to detail where they're not doing those things because that's part of the game.
Hey, Bruce, also, is there anybody more fun to watch in basketball? And please, not fundamental, but just watch. Golden State, are they just – they're down 9 late last night, and they come back and win that game against Orlando. My God, are they fun to watch.
Joe, they're down 9 points with 3 minutes to go, and for Orlando to even think that they have the game, shame on them, Joe. Shame.
Yeah, man.
Because it's such a collegiate and playoff atmosphere at Golden State Arena. that they're never out of the game. And I think this is a scenario where you've seen the Golden State Warriors grow as far as a maturity standpoint, is that whenever they're late in the game, there is no panic like you used to see. There is no question of, uh-oh, here we go, we can't do anything because this other team is so much better than us. You see a team that becomes more focused, and they really start to get the stops that are necessary. And this is something that we did not ever apply to the Golden State Warriors as far as being able to get stops when necessary.
I got to tell you, man, you know, it's just nice to have you on. And you got your voice back. You were a little sick last time, and just having you back and yourself,
you know,
again.
Joe, I know you're trying to smooth out some of the things that you said because I was hoarse and I couldn't respond. But, yeah, the only way that you can ever make this up to me is get on the phone with my boy Laz and make sure Laz had a cubano, a pan cubano, a little cafe cubano, and later on in the evening, arroz con frijoles negro. That's the only way you can
see
do it
now.
Me,
now
bro.
People are listening and going. Now I got Cuban American dudes going. Okay, how does Bruce know all that stuff, man? How's he know?
Yeah,
like, come
go.
On. Now I got to explain to more guys. Well, Bruce,
yeah,
when he lived
you
down,
should. You should have to explain some stuff.
You have no idea how
you
many
run
times
your mouth. You run your mouth so much. Let's put it to good work. Now, you know, I'm still upset. You be like, hey, Bruce, just call me when you get to town. I don't have your number, man. How am I going to call you? You know, you still doing
you are
that
beautiful,
1980s
man.
Stuff with guys.
Oh,
oh yeah,
man.
Let's hang out, man. We'll hang out. Yeah, give me a call. Okay.
Oh,
I'll call you, Joe.
You are beautiful. Hey, man, you take care of yourself, will you? We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, it's 36 degrees in Bristol right now, Joe.
You don't do real well in that cold weather either, man. You're just not
know.
A cold weather guy.
I'm allergic to cold weather. I figured it out. I'm allergic.
Hey, Bruce, you take care.
All right, partner.
Bruce Bowen joining us this morning.